Hello there, welcome to Music Ally Focus again with me, Music Ally's editor, Joe Sparrow. And in this episode, we're joined by TK and SK, who are co-founders of the London-based independent record label and management company, Finesse Forever. Finesse Forever is home to artists and producers, including Russ Millions, Skengdo and AM, and JB Made It. And the company have received a MOBO Award, multiple platinum certifications. They've had artists who've worked with Drake, and they've also had the UK's first number one single for a drill track. So we wanted to take the opportunity to talk to two UK music entrepreneurs who've grown a substantial and influential business from the ground up and find out what they've learned along the way. Now, each Music Ally Focused episode analyzes one meaningful music business story at a time. And so this podcast is going to be quick. It'll take about the same amount of time as Gordon the Parrot could remove 350 bottle tops with his beak. Gordon, a hyacinth macaw, opened 12 bottles in 1 minute whilst under the watchful eye of his human, Julie Cardoza, in 2012. Now, talking of opening things for a thirsty crowd, Finesse Forever, launched by co-founders TK and SK in 2017, has been highly influential in the opening up of drill music to a wide audience. They've just been named Music Entrepreneur of the Year 2023 by the UK's Young Music Boss Awards, which is presented in partnership with the Association of Independent Music. And we talked to TK and SK about how drill, or for the benefit of our international listeners, UK drill, has grown to national and international popularity, how it was demonized initially and actually at the moment as well in the UK press, how the genre and the scene around it has grown into a big industry through the age-old combination of hard work, ambition, and talent, and how they're working hard to share skills and educate a brand new generation of music business entrepreneurs as part of Finesse Forever's wider social focus. Let's go straight across to TK and SK right now. All right, so I'm very happy to be joined on the podcast by TK and SK of Finesse Forever. Hello to the both of you.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
Great to see you and thanks for joining us. Now, we've got a lot to talk about here, which is about not only your careers as Finesse Forever, but also your careers in UK drill and the state of UK drill and what's going on. So let's start right at the beginning then. Can you please introduce yourselves and explain who you are and what Finesse Forever does?
Yeah, sure. My name's TK. So I'm like one of three directors at Finesse Forever. And a little bit about my background, management, A&R, used to do engineering, live sound engineering events, the whole lot, kind of every kind of hat you might have to wear as an independent.
Thanks. And SK?
Yeah, my name is SK, 31 years old, one of three directors at Finesse Forever. My background actually to music was that I was actually a rapper at first. Then I got more into the technical because it wasn't really good, but I'll go into more the technical side and business side of music.
Right. And, you know, you launched Finesse Forever, what, in 2017, was it?
So yeah, that's correct.
Seven, 8 years ago. What is Finesse Forever and what made you launch it in the first place?
First and foremost, it's a label, it's a management company. But I guess we're just a platform, we're an entity that just uses music as a vehicle to not only just put out music, but also to help like in terms of changing people's lives and directions as well.
I think there's one thing that makes us unique as Finesse Forever is like we're family oriented people, and that reflects with our label. Like it's more like a family, the label and the people that we work with. Hence why we have the anonym Family First. So.
Right, okay. So it's very sort of community-oriented in how you work, but also in the impact that you have as well as a business.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so just for the benefit then of our international listeners, because we have people listening from around the world, they might be familiar with some elements of UK drill, but can you explain UK drill, the background of it, and how you became involved with it as a genre of music or an area of music?
Yeah, how we got involved in it. Obviously, we're like a bit older. So at the time, I think like early 2017, I think the music scene was kind of just evolving. Drill was really super underground. So we were like kind of managing like just your standard kind of rap artist and a dancehall artist called IQ. He was kind of doing Jewel before, but it was really that younger crowd that kind of introduced us to it. So I was working part-time in the children's home at one point, and one of the kids that we used to look after, I used to bring him along to like radio interviews that we'd have, or like music shows, or just bring him to studio. So we might let him take the aux cable in the car and he's just playing music. And we're like me and SK just be like, what is this? Like, just, it's rap, but it just sounds different and it's a lot more gritty. It's just something that we weren't fully aware of. And then we kind of got a full-on explanation of it from one of our friends who passed away, one of his youngers at the time that we were looking after, and he kind of dived into it a bit more. SK's got his take on it as well, so I'll let him break the other half.
It's
like TK said, and obviously, like, formality, like, Drew obviously comes from, like, Chicago. That's where it's actually originated from, and it's, you know, it's had its rounds where it's gone through America and then passed through the UK and then passed through Europe. And obviously, the production is similar to kind of like Chicago, but very different. And the meaning is kind of different in the UK. Like TK said, how we came across it was like, we, back in our day, it was just like normal rap. We just used to call it spitting. So when we heard it like on different beats with similar content, we were just thinking, wow, this is kind of different. Like, even down to the metaphors, the similes, and the way they kind of give their story of their life and how they're living, we found it quite unique. But we just didn't quite understand it. So we said, you know what, we wanted to kind of understand it. You know, one of our friends passed away, you know, like, rest in peace. You know, his little bro was the one that kind of gave us our first shot fully into the Drill world, where we started managing him, and he gave us the explanation. Then we started to realize there's a whole, seeing a whole wave that's about to form. And then we just started tapping into it from there.
And of course, like, that storytelling element is what people are really connecting to. And since then, it's become a huge success, hasn't it? With number one records and artists from other parts of the world also producing UK drill songs. And, or, well, they would call it UK drill, you would just call it drill.
And it kind of let us know, like, why certain things, like, were just happening just in the eras, and why, like, young people, just like less and less young people in school, were getting caught up in like drama and stuff like that. And yeah, just let us have it more insight into like just what's going on in and around the community, and why things are going on, why things start. So before, like, there was that whole stigma about drill causing violence, and that the violence was just there before it. And it was just now that, because things on the street level got so intense, like, the music sounding more intense, like, the stuff on the street is what's influencing the music, and not the other way around.
And this is an accusation that's happened so many times before in the past, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That the music is causing the problem, but actually the music is communicating the reality of the problem to people, isn't it? And so then, you know, let's fast forward then to now. You've just been, this is a sort of recognition of the work that you've done. You've been awarded the Music Entrepreneur of the Year Award at the Young Music Boss Award, which is supported by the Association of Independent Music. And that's the ceremony's coming up soon, which is great. So it's a good time to take stock, really, of that journey that you've gone since you first discovered drill. So, from an industry perspective then, let's take you back there. You're in the car, you've handed over the aux cable, someone's playing this great music, and you've realised there's something there, right? So, and it's saying something, and it's everything's falling into alignment that moment. So what was the actual industry like then, the sort of the industry around drill like?
There was not.
In 2017? No. Right, okay.
No, there was not. And what's funny is no one wanted to touch drill. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we used to campaign, we used to like basically protest, like two men and a few other people within the industry. I would say probably like Big Up Press Play, Danny Press Play, and Bills from Mixtape Madness at the time were the only ones that really co-signed or supported or wanted anything to do with drill, because everyone thought it was just some sort of knife crime. Like, they didn't really understand that it was music, they didn't understand it was a genre, they didn't understand those professionals behind records. They didn't understand the ecosystem because they just saw what was in the headlines. And that kind of made it fearful. So the industry at the time is no one wanted to sign drill. No one thought that was going to make money. No one thought that where it was going to, you know, until, you know, it started having its success, you know, like Bounce Hug, he was the first one to get the first chart in drill record, which went top 20. We were second with Gunlean. And obviously now fast forward, we've got number one. And fast forward, speaking of which, where we're in the car where the kid actually played the Aux, he's now on our music business course. That right. shows you a full circle ecosystem of how it can change. It changes so many different people's lives, whether you're the artist, whether you're the manager, whether you're the graphic designer. And it was kind of annoying that we already saw its potential to get this far. But at that time, no one really saw the potential. Everyone was kind of afraid. People had their own comments and whatnot. And that was kind of a frustrating time, the industry.
How did you break through? Because, this is your, people are not wanting to touch it. And yet you're seeing the potential. You're on the ground there doing it. So how did you win people over and get them on your side?
We just brought a level of professionalism. You know what I mean? Because, for us, this wasn't really about just, a bit of music. For us, this was all about impact. Do you know what I mean? It was about impact. So we had purpose to what we're doing. It wasn't just about, want to sell records. No, we just wanted to have impact. We wanted to be able to sell records, fit in with the industry forte, and also be able to make an impact, to give opportunities. And I think people saw through that. And I think a big part of that was when we went on the whole media run, speaking on Sky News, speaking on BBC, ITV. And we'd just stick on our FF shirts and we'd present it as two young black men presenting a genre which is deemed as, this is violent, nothing good can come from this. But we're presenting it in a way that can be respected. Well, if you don't respect and like the music, then you're going to respect the people and know that there's good people within this that are trying to sort of make a difference and whatnot. And I think we definitely became or set an example for a lot of young people coming up, which is why I think that's why it's here. We gave people a blueprint, to be honest, I think, personally. And that's leading to our own homes.
Definitely. And to add to that as well, like there's a key thing there that we became examples to the youth. Like we didn't just let it sit down just with the music. We went down to these deprived areas. We went down to these communities and people called us mad. People looked at us like we're crazy, like we're going to get stabbed with this and that. And we went to understand the lifestyle, to separate the lifestyle from the music. And see where we can help in both areas, which is why we teamed up with various community partners, which we're working with now. So we can do the music, but also help people's personal life with what they're going through. So, they can actually, put out the music without having to do things that they shouldn't be doing. And eventually the evolution of that means that the music they start putting out becomes a bit more positive and they start providing for their families, they start providing for their community. And that's how the cycle goes on. So, We took a gamble, we took a risk, but it's something that we're passionate about. And, from us growing up, we didn't have anyone older than us. We both used to do music at one point. No one older than us to tell us and guide us people just demonized us when we were younger. We both got kicked out of school. But look at us now, we're teaching, we're educating, and we're putting out music and we're breaking records. So it just shows, we give that realization to the youth that, we were once in your shoes, but look at us now.
And what's the response like, when you work with those communities and the community groups and obviously they're seeing, the kids are seeing drill as being perhaps the cutting edge big music in the UK right now. So is there a change there that you can see in how those connections?
Yeah, I think it's bigger than drill. It's just music in general, especially because it's in the urban demographic, or ethnic minorities demographic, if you want to call it that. They can't really believe that we're kind of accessible. I guess that's a good thing and a bad thing sometimes, but they're like, you actually give help in that, or you just don't talk about it, you're actually doing it. Whereas there's a lot of people in the industry that once they get into their positions and whatnot, that's it. You can't hear from certain people no more. They forget about what it was like for them to even get to where they're getting to. And like SK just said before, we didn't have anyone like elders, or we didn't have any older peers like kind of showing us way or giving us a helping hand. Like, we've made our names for ourselves, do you know what I mean? And that was through hard graft, and that's when we did meet influential people. I can mention names like DJ Semtex and whatnot. We presented ourselves in the right way to gain their respect, which made them put us on, in a sense, like, oh yeah, these guys, I'm rooting for these guys, do you know what I mean? So yeah, a big part to play is just the professionalism and just being accessible to a certain level where we don't move like superstars to a degree, but we show you that, like, we're down to earth. We know what it's like to come from where you're coming from. Do you know what I mean?
How do you do the sort of the teaching part, or the sort of developmental part for that side of what you're doing with young people who want to be involved?
Yeah, that kind of kick. So one thing we used to do was, like, we used to have like just so many people. We weren't used to this, by the way, but we just had people like DMing us all the time, like, yo, how can I get involved? Or, could I do work experience? So, like, these times, early 2018, 17, we're doing work experience. We have no clue of how to even how to run work experience. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we had, a formula or had employees. So we're just helping, taking some kids round and whatnot. And then as we started to grow, we realized, all right, cool, we need to switch the way that we give the help. It's got to make sense. So like during the pandemic, there was a lot of stuff going on in the community wise. And then because a lot of young people were locked inside, there wasn't much opportunities and whatnot. So we so happened to manage to get onto a community Zoom call, which included all like the local Met Police, like the counsellors within the Croydon Borough. And then they formed something, My Ends. And through that, we were able to come up with the idea of creating a music business course, which we've been growing over the past 2 years. And we now kind of deliver that one day a week inside Croydon College over a 12-week span, showing them like from mentality all the way through to managing, publishing record labels, and helping give like some job opportunities if there are any, and connecting them with actual industry professionals. And at least that way it's more time efficient, and also through that you can actually suss out who's actually serious about this music journey, and maybe some people might give extra opportunities to within FF, or we help them get a situation within a label. One of or two of our students managed to get a job at Island and Sony, and others have got like acting gigs and other types of experiences. So yeah, it's been good.
The community and the music go hand in hand, and it's been very ground up. It's grown from the grassroots all the way up. Every step of the ladder has been built above it, and as the music has climbed all the way to the top of the charts, right? So you've mentioned some of the challenges that you've overcome, especially at the start there, of winning people over and setting expectations and things like that. On a sort of personal level, or as a sort of business level, how has that helped you develop as professionals?
I think it's helped us develop like very well, and even just doubling back to just to add to the point that TK said, what TK finished up about the community. We also do even one-on-ones, like we do one-to-ones with a lot of people outside of this, like, because like you said, there's a lot of people that reach out to us, but we do a lot of one-on-ones because there's so much people that need help, and so much, and we're suckers to help. That's what we always say. And going into your question about how it's helped us as professionals, it's like, we're learning every single like day, every single year, every single month. There's new things. It's crazy when you start a business, you think you know it all, and then the next month there's something else that you know and that you need to do. Then the next year there's a whole nother ball game. Then there's this, there's the accountants, there's this. So it's kind of molded us into men in business, really. Do you know what I mean? And whatever we do, like outside of music, or whoever we help outside of music, we're able to help mold them, because it's like we're learning and passing that information. Yeah, so it's actually helped us, in my opinion, mold ourselves. Men in business, I would like to say. Do you know what I mean? And the thing about us is that we're not arrogant or ignorant. We always have room to kind of learn Do you know what I mean? No matter how old you are, if you have information, we'll take the meeting and we'll learn. We don't look ourselves like we know a lot, which is why we come across so, people say that we're so humble and why don't we glow and stuff, is because we feel like we still got a long, long way to go and there's so much for us to learn. And yeah, that's what I would say. I think TK probably has something to add to that as well.
Yeah, I think everything you said is just spot on. I think it's just helped developed us as human beings. The further you go on, the more people you meet when you travel, just even experiences of traveling, learn about other cultures, how people are living, kind of makes you realize that everything is not really about you. There's other people in other areas that are having the same struggle. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like we went to LA, see a place like Skid Row, people living like that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So our problems are small. Also just as the music industry and lifestyle can be at times where it's, you go on from one thing to the next thing, you're only really as good as your last record, and you're always competing to keep up. The game's always changing. So learn to develop in the terms of having balance and just taking breathers. You know what I mean? There was a point where Saturdays, Friday night, Sundays, working round the clock. But now we're at a stage where we realised, do you know what? Done enough work, we can actually afford to take a break on a Saturday, Sunday, just switch off just for those 2 days so you can come back. Because it's really about, you only last as long, you can last the longest in this industry, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And you have to kind of develop in that area on how can you last longer. It's like Ronaldo, like used to play on the wing, had to adapt the game. Rooney had to adapt his game, played centre mid sometimes, do you know what I mean? So it's like, constantly developing.
And that's an important point to be made. You know, as you're doing what you're doing, it does require pushing and extra effort to get there. But if you burn out, it's no good for you or anybody, is it?
Yeah.
You mentioned that you are humble people, but also you're ambitious, right? You've built this this business, and you've had great successes with it. So, looking forward a bit, then what is next, do you think, for the business, Finesse Forever? Where do you hope that you can take it, and how do you measure those achievements?
I'd say like more international. Obviously, like we're both from Nigeria, so maybe like doing something in Africa. Again, the music space is turning more techie, so again, it's just paying attention to how things are changing in that space as well. Starting to understand more about just the music business in general. So we're really on like just trying to put out the right records. We just set up like a publishing division with Ditto. So run doing admin for other artists and just learning this about catalog and stuff like that. So we just hope to keep kind of growing in that way.
So you're aiming to sort of grow in that sort of holistic way where you're just trying to sort of build a more secure business around Finesse Forever that sort of keeps developing in a way that supports it.
Because you know, in this music industry, it's not easy to keep the lights on, you know what I mean? So when you're an independent label especially, you have to kind of do a lot more groundwork. Whereas it's easier if you just like, I don't know, just kind of got a job in like a label and then you're just working as A&R. So you've got that infrastructure around you. But when you're building it from the ground up, it takes a lot more hard work and got to learn a lot of mistakes, do a lot of learning, find all the loopholes, do you know what I mean? Meet all the right people that you need to meet as well. So, yeah.
And SK, what about you? How do you see what are the ambitions looking forward for Finesse Forever?
Yeah, like I agree with TK in terms of definitely an international approach. Definitely something from our own heritage in terms of like we're both, like you said, we're both Nigerian. We haven't done anything in Africa, which is kind of shameful. But that's something that we want to touch. And, you know, it has been hard as like when you're independent label, because it's like you're always trying to fight for your credibility sometimes. And sometimes that does take a toll on us where we think like, you know what, why are we not here or why are we not there? Yeah, do you know what I mean? So many times we wanted to pack it up, but it's just like, we just know we're just lying to us and we have to keep going. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of people relying on us and there's so much like we're almost there. Do you know what I mean? I feel like we're just trying to take a more global approach. And, you know, every day we're just thinking about probably the best directions for the company in itself. Do you know what I mean? I feel like we've done almost everything around the entertainment and music industry. So it's like now having specific targets that we're trying to work towards. We've got our own, like, for example, one is like putting out certain records and this and that. So it's like that has helped us as well, guide us to the. I would love to say end goal, but in music, it's like there's never an end goal. It's like it just keeps going. But a somewhat end goal, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And what about Drill then? You as a business have had number one records, platinum certifications. There's been lots of them across the genre now. Drake did a Drill track, you know, so which is about as internationally visible as you can get. So where does it go from here, do you think, in terms of maybe success or social impact? What's next?
Well, to be honest, where I see Drill, I think it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. I think the production has kind of changed now in terms of, and you know, there's like kind of like this like Jersey Drill. There's like a lot of sample Drill. I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I feel like now it's like, because there's so many different kind of people doing Drill, you know, there's different stories to tell. Do you know what I mean? Before, at the beginning, we're just from a street perspective story, or where now is like people that go to like work 9 to 5, there's people that play football that do Drill, there's all kinds of Drill that's coming out where it's only just going to get bigger. That's the way I see it. It's already gone international. You know, we've had like massive artists like Drake jumping on Drill. You've had so much Beyonce even jumping on Drill. Yeah. Like, you've had a lot of people jumping on Drill where it's just like, it can only get bigger, in my opinion. It's here to stay.
And that's a good place to leave it then, with a very positive outlook, and you've got ambition to match. Yeah. I'll put some links to Finesse Forever and some of the songs you mentioned beneath the podcast so people can dig into it a bit. One final question for each of you then, which is sort of to set the context for the conversation we've just had, which is, if both of you could pick one piece of music to listen to forever, like you only take one, what would it be? This is always the hardest question, I'll be honest.
I think it would have to be like instrumental based. So do you know what? Recently I've been listening to Enya. Yeah, she's like an old school artist, and a lot of people
had a big resurgence recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of people have been sampling her stuff, but I've just had her like album on, and because it's not no words to it, you can kind of put your own.
It's funny how it comes back round, isn't it? That Enya has recently had this resurgence. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good choice. Not had that one yet. SK? Yeah.
Is it like genre of music or just one? Is it a song or?
I mean, I'm a bit flexible here. I usually say a song, but it could be a genre or an album or something, you know.
Like meaningful rap. I can listen to that all day. Like meaningful rap. Like it's just like, because I listen to a lot of music that I can relate to or that's very relatable. So it has to be like meaningful, deep rap.
So something that you can really connect to.
Yeah, that's me.
You can listen to it forever.
I'm a weird music person. That's why these are always find me weird, because I like music that I can only just relate to. And the thing about me, I have a pet peeve. Once I like a song, I'm playing that 50 times. 50 times all the time, forever and ever. That's the one thing. When I love a song, I'll just keep playing it.
And do you ever get to a point where you play a song so many times, it goes all the way around, you end up not liking it anymore?
Yeah, that's my problem. Okay. That's why I try to not play it. I try to starve myself from playing it, and I'll pretend as if I'm not going to get bored of it, but I will. And I'll come.
Yeah, I'm the same. Okay, good. It's nice to meet someone who's the same. Okay, cool. All right. So TK and SK, Finesse Forever. Thanks for joining us.
Cool. Thank you, man. I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you.
And there we are. Big thanks to TK and SK from Finesse Forever. And if you found that useful, please share this podcast on with someone who you think will find it helpful. You can also check out all the things that TK, SK and Finesse Forever are doing by the links that are under this podcast. If you want to get in touch with me, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me on joe@musically.com. That's joe@musically.com. And don't forget, if you want to stay in touch even longer, we have a free weekly email called The Knowledge, which rounds up a soupçon of the best analysis, news, marketing insight and skills that Music Ally produces across its broad range of industry-leading services. So sign up and impress your friends. Links are in the description below the podcast, as always. All right, that's it. Thanks for joining us as ever. I've been Joe Sparrow. You've been you. And until next time, farewell.